Alexandria 88.1.
The following programs are underwriting sponsors of this station. The views expressed belong to its participants and are not necessarily those of the management and staff of KYT.
Get ready, and get ready. Don't touch that dial. Welcome to New Life Ministries broadcast. I'm Pastor Gregory Tenney of the Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust you will enjoy today's broadcast.
Lift your worship.
Good morning. I want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast, for truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Remember that Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church is a church where we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for your time and tuning in to this broadcast and truly being listeners of this broadcast. And I want to thank those of you that took the opportunity to share in the way of donations. Always remember that this ministry is a ministry that seeks out to help folk. And if anyone out there know me well, know that I am a man of God that is always trying to help somebody. And I'm always trying to do what I can for people. But, you know, it seems like we find that people always want to be on the receiving end, but they don't ever want to be on the giving end. I'm soliciting to all of you that have been a part in my life where I may have helped you in some way or been a help to you or shared with you in any aspect of your life, that you would make a contribution to this ministry. This ministry helps with this broadcast. It helps where we go and share with the needy. It helps with situations where people are in need of help in different areas, and it gives me the opportunity to be able to do that. And I want to thank God that he allotted me to be able to retire from the Rapides Parish School Board. I am now officially retired from the Rapides Parish School Board, and I thank God for those 20 years, and I thank God that I'm able to retire at an early time where I can still do things in life. One of the things I want to do in life is get more involved with ministry, with the work of ministry, and begin to go out and see what I can do to help make this city better. And that's very important to me. I thank God that God is putting this on my heart to be able to work strongly in the ministry and be able to go out and help others and be able to make a difference in life. Look, I want to also mention to you that on the 30th, which is this Sunday, Pastor Gregory Clark will be having his pastor's anniversary at Greater New Zion. That's Pastor Gregory Clark at Greater New Zion. And he has given me the opportunity to extend to you all, to invite you all to come out and be a part of his pastor's anniversary. And I thank God that he has given me the opportunity to be able to preach his pastor's anniversary. Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church, along with our choir, will be doing the pastor's anniversary for Pastor Clark. And the pastor's anniversary will take place at 3 p.m. at Greater New Zion. So we want to ask all of you to come out and be a part and come out and help us lift up the name of Jesus. That's a blessing in itself. So we want to extend to all of you out there. We want you men of God, you children of God, all of you We want to extend the opportunity for you to come and be a part of this service. Pastor Clark is a dear friend of mine, and he's a great guy. He's a great person. He's great in the ministry, and I love him very dearly, and I hope and pray that he have many more anniversaries to come. You know, just for a little while, I just want to talk on a subject, the second chapter of Acts. There it says, and when the day of Pentecost were fully come, they were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And it set upon them as tongues of fire, and they began to speak in unknown tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was a miraculous time, and this was a time where the Holy Spirit came in and worked miraculously. And everyone was there worshiping God, and they were all on the same accord. And because they were all on the same accord, it just gave the Holy Spirit the opportunity to come in and do a miraculous work. And it filled all of them. Things began to happen. And that's what we need to do. We need to let the Holy Spirit come into our lives and allow it to work in us so that miraculous things can be done within us. You know, just think about that. A sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And if a sound from heaven came in to most places as of a rushing mighty wind, most of us would think that it's a hurricane or think that's a tornado coming. You know, a hurricane and tornado, it destroys. It's destructive. But this was a spirit that wasn't destructive, but came in mightily. It was a peaceful setting, a glorious setting, lifted up setting, a setting of prosperity. And that was a miraculous thing to happen for the Spirit of God to just set upon each and every person in there. As it spoke to them, they all from different nationalities, from different, you know, races and cultures, they understood exactly what was being said in their own language. That's mighty powerful. And what we need to do is we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, set up residence in our lives, and begin to do miraculous work in our lives. Jesus, when he left, said that he would leave a comforter. And the comforter that he left was the Holy Spirit. You know, don't look for Jesus to come back physically in this life, because it's not going to happen. He left behind something for us that would come, that would work in our lives, that would stir up in our lives, that would move in our lives. And that's the third person of the Trinity. You have the Father, you have the Son, and thirdly, you have the Holy Spirit. And guess what? All three of them make up one body. So when you got the Holy Spirit, you got Jesus. When you got Jesus, you got God. You got all three of them bind up together to make just one. I just thank God that the Holy Spirit does what it does. And we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would set fire on this city. Some of the things that's happening in the city wouldn't be happening. Some of the things that people do in the city, they wouldn't be doing. Some of the places that you go, you wouldn't be going. But my brothers and sisters, in order for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, we got to clean up. We have to clean up ourselves so that God can come in. You know, how many of you know that God doesn't dwell in an unclean temple? And so we have to clean up our temple. What is the temple? It's that body that we live in. That is, our body is the temple of God, and it's designed to be the temple of God. We was designed and designated to have life eternally from the beginning, but because of man's sin and because of man's corruptive things that he done, it caused us to fall from out of the ark of safety of life into death. But then God sent his Son that he would come back and he would save this old filthy world. Isn't that a blessing itself? Jesus came to save those who were lost. He came for the sinners. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. So my brothers and sisters, I say to you, I appeal to you that even though sometimes situations seem to be hard, sometimes people get on your last nerve, sometimes people misunderstand you, sometimes people take you for granted, sometimes people misuse you, sometimes people abuse you. But look, even in the midst of all of this, all we need to do is give it to the Lord. There's a song I want you to hear in our closing, and that song is When I See Jesus, Say Amen. Thank you.
I've learned how to live holy. See Jesus, hey, amen. When I see Jesus, yeah, hey, amen. All my trouble.
Heard New Life Ministries of Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, 4800 Smith Avenue. Your love gifts and offerings are greatly appreciated. You can send all donations to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. At Second Nazarene, we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope, through four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next time. Thank you, and may God bless you.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Thank you for joining us on the radio. My name is Pastor Grady Blackwell, First St. Mark Baptist Church. We're a church that's seeking the lost and lifting the found. So I just want you to know that I'm glad that you are here. Tell everybody that Grady Blackwell and the First St. Mark Baptist Church is on the air.
Pastor Blackwell, do we have you?
Yeah, you have me. I was talking. Good morning, Ms. Grady, with the First St. Mark Baptist Church. Glad that you tune in. I want you to call everybody and tell them that First St. Mark Baptist Church and their pastor emeritus, Grady Blackwell, is on the air. We're so glad that you tune in. We just want to tell you just a little bit about First St. Mark, and we'll move on. Thank you again for tuning in to this radio station and this First St. Mark radio program. We have church every Sunday, and since they lifted it somewhat, we're inviting everybody. Come on, we got plenty of room, so we're inviting you to come on the fifth Sunday. You know how it is on the fifth Sunday. We normally visit a church, and our doors are wide open, waiting for you to come in. Our services start Sunday school at 10 o'clock, regular service at 11 o'clock, and on Monday, we have celebrating sobriety. In other words, celebrating the clean time if you just happen to know somebody who's going through an addiction problem, such as alcohol, a drug problem, then they can come every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. That's every Monday. We look forward to you sending somebody that you know or maybe coming yourself. Don't be ashamed. Almost everybody that I know of that may not want to admit it got somebody in their family that are affected by alcohol and drugs. It could be prescription drugs, but they are affected some way. So we're open. You can come by or send somebody by on Mondays from 6 to 7. On Wednesday, we have midweek service. It starts at 6:30. And it ends at 7:30. So we invite you to come. We have a very good crowd that discuss the Bible. I always say that they bisect the Bible. They break the words down where even a baby almost could understand it. And I just enjoy it. I might miss Sunday, but I wouldn't want to miss the midweek service. 6:30 to 7:30. Looking forward to see you. Just come on in. 1624 Reed Avenue, that's where the church is located, and we love visitors. On Thursday morning, we have a prayer breakfast. We call it a community prayer breakfast, but it's designed for you. If you need a breakfast, it's a hot breakfast, grits, eggs, sausage. I mean, Pig Grill ain't got nothing on us on that, but it's a real good breakfast. We say a prayer. And we just bless the community with a free prayer breakfast, and we look forward to you attending our free prayer breakfast. It's just another service that First St. Mark have to try to help the community and help our church. So the time for that prayer breakfast is from like 7:30 right up until 9:30. So we look forward to you being at our prayer breakfast. So we ask that you continue to keep First St. Mark Baptist Church in prayer as we keep our whole community, our whole city in prayer also. We just thank you. Now, I would just want to say something that's been on my mind. I have to say it. I know we have a lot of problem in Alexander as far as, I call it black-on-black crime, black killing blacks. And it is. It's pretty bad. So we want to do something about it. Naturally, prayer is an important thing on whatever we do. Ain't nothing too big for God, ain't nothing too small for God. So we just want to lift up the whole city in prayer on the crime and the violence and the murders and the killing that's taking place in our city. And we're not worried about pride and all that stuff. We're just worried about a human being life been taken. And not only a human being life been taken, but, you know, a lot of times it's stuff that's not reported because they're putting it on the back burner now because it doesn't make news. And when I talk about that, I'm talking about there's somebody is verbally assaulted. In other words, somebody's been talked about so bad in some of these households that it's worse than taking a beating. Some people are running around saying, the stuff I'm going through, I hope somebody would kill me. You know, I'm just telling like it is. Some people even thinking like that, and that's not reported. But, you know, somebody getting beat, spousal abuse, domestic disturbance, somebody getting kicked, stomped, beat, and some child seeing this. I'm talking about some child look like me. I'm talking about a black child. And he doesn't get any counseling or anything. And now, if we could go back 15 years, some of those people that seen some of this violence is having post-traumatic stress. In other words, they're showing some of the stuff now by killing each other. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just throwing something out there. One of the things I want to say, though, I want you to concentrate on training up your child now while you got a chance. In other words, we get our children before the world get our children. So we get them when they're young. So while they're young, 1 to 5 years old, let's train them. Let's train them up the way that God will have us train up our children. We have to chastise them, train them right from wrong. And they say when they grow, they won't depart from it. But that's what we need. Because I just believe we have dropped the ball years ago and stopped training our children like God would have us to train our children. And sometimes we just let the TV or cartoon keep our children satisfied while we just doing something else. One of the things in the Bible, you know, and I'm gonna say this, and I know I haven't got much time. I always run out of time, but I got more time than I think. One of the things that God's word say, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And that's in Mark chapter 10, verse 14. It also said this. It said, chastise thy son where there is hope, and let not only thy soul spare his crime. That's in Proverbs, the 19th chapter, the 18th verse. He that spare his rod hates his child. In other words, if you don't chastise your child, you hate your child if you spare the rod. But he that loves him, chastise him. And all of this is, we can find it in Proverbs 13, chapter 24, verse. They say, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And I hope that you're in Proverbs because it's 20 through 15. I'm not just jumping up saying something. I'm going right by what the Bible says. I want to say, look, the rod and reproof give wisdom. In other words, chastising a child, whipping a child, give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings mother to shame. In other words, if we love our children, we should chastise them. You should tell them that no means no, yes means yes. Because if you don't do that, a child could be ready to cross the street walking and you say, stop. And if he or she doesn't obey you, they could step out in the traffic and get hit. So your child could be trained when you say no or stop or get, you know, or shut up, whatever. It helps the child. It keeps the child from getting hurt. And if you love your child, then train up your child while they're young. I've had so many mothers that cry, I just can't do it. I love my child too much to spank him. I let him go in a corner and be quiet for a few minutes, a punishment. You know, I would say how you punish your child is your business, and I'm going to still say that, but I was just quoting some of what the Bible says. That's all I was trying to do. But I know one thing. We get our children before the world get our children. If we could bring them with us, want us to bring up our children. And that's important to me, and I think that's important to you, and it's certainly important to the world that we live in. Because if our child is out of control and you wait until they get 15 or 16, you can't control them at that time. You could put them in an institution, a jail, a prison home, or some kind of place. You let the police try to correct them, and they don't do well on correcting our children. While we have at a young age to teach them God's way, this is the best way that I can tell that we can put a clamp on some of this black-on-black crime, on some of these murders, or some of this killing. If somebody had did something like this in a more efficient way, then maybe we wouldn't be going through a problem as bad as we're going through now. Because these children now neglect from parents, from some of us, didn't take care of our children like we should have. We didn't chastise them. We didn't put a curfew on them. They kind of did what they wanted to do. And now some of us are really afraid of our children. Our children are 16 and 17 years old, and they come in and tell us what they want us to do and expect us to do it. We have no control. You know, it used to not be like that, but it's like that now. And what I'm trying to do by talking and saying what I'm saying right now is I'm just trying to make it better for years to come. And all our children are not bad, because there's a lot of good children. But you know, I just want to tell you that you know just as well as I know, good children really don't get any praise. If you're real bad and do something bad, your name get in the newspaper, your name go on the radio and on TV. But if you just a good child or a good person, that don't make news. And people don't want to hear that. They want to hear something either real bad or extraordinary good. So what I want to say that you just have to be the parent, the mother and father that God is calling for in the last and evil days. And I just thank y'all for understanding that the nature of love, if we love our children, certainly would chastise them. Parents must recognize the difference between true love and sentiment. Natural human sentiment, often taken to be love, can be harmful if not submitted to wisdom. Love is not sentiment. That is, love is not simply the deep feeling we often have in association with those close to us. Such feeling can be, and often are, self-serving. Love is not an emotion at all. Love and the percent of goodwill towards and good doing for your fellow man. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This interest. That is, there are no thought of personal gain or personal loss in the act of love. One of the things, we don't want to get feeling associated with love. Love is action. We care. I feel in my heart that we love our children. I thank God for the children. I thank God for the parents who try to raise their children the way God would want us to raise them. We thank God for all of you who tune in, tell somebody that First St. Mark Baptist Church and their pastor emeritus, Grace Blackwell, is on the air. We thank you for tuning in. We ask that you would just continue to pray for our blessings.